glory, glory, Christ will come again. Amen. Hallelujah. Many of the brothers have mentioned that these messages that we're covering is from a conference earlier this year, the International Chinese Speaking Conference. I'd like to add that actually this conference is a continuation from last year's International Chinese Speaking Conference. And that topic is making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. Amen. I'm also very thankful that for some of us, we've actually been covering these messages. This is probably the fourth time. We heard it once in the message, we covered it in the morning revival, we reviewed it again, and we're hearing it again this weekend. Amen. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that we're covering this topic, making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. Because I don't know about you, but I feel I need to be reminded over and over and over again. What am I living for? What is the meaning of my life? I feel every day when I wake up, I need to remind myself, what am I doing here? I'm here today because I want to make myself a little more ready. I want to be ready for the Lord's coming. And I feel it's so easy to lose track of what we are living for. We get caught up with all the day-to-day things at work and at home, and I just forget, actually, I want to be one who is living for the Lord's coming. And actually, when we make ourselves ready for the Lord's coming, actually, we can hasten the Lord's return. Because actually, the Lord, He's coming for someone. He's coming to get married. He's coming for a bride. So when we make ourselves ready for the Lord's coming, actually, we are meeting His need. And we're helping Him to come back faster. So I'm so thankful that we can cover this topic again. So in this conference, we see these four matters that we need to do to make ourselves ready, right? We need to be those who are fighting the good fight. We have to be those who are finishing the course, those who are keeping the faith. And also tonight, we're going to cover this matter of loving the Lord's appearing. I hope we wouldn't forget about this fourth one, loving the Lord's appearing. Because Paul, in 2 Timothy 4:8, he said that this crown of righteousness was laid up for him, but not only for him, hallelujah, not just for Paul, but all those who have loved His appearing. We can be those who love the Lord's appearing. And what a critical thing it must be to love the Lord's appearing, that Paul would say that this crown is for those who love the Lord's appearing. Actually, loving the Lord's appearing is proof of the extent of our loving the Lord. And actually, whether we love the Lord's appearing will determine whether we receive a reward or we receive a punishment. So this is a very serious matter, loving the Lord's appearing. And I've been considering this matter a lot because we talk about loving the Lord a lot. And I was considering, what is it really to love the Lord? What does it really mean to love the Lord? And I found that this message, message four, was so helpful for me in understanding, what does it mean to love the Lord? What does loving the Lord look like? Also, how do we love the Lord? And finally, what happens when you love the Lord? So the title of message four is Loving the Lord's Appearing by Maintaining Our Love for Him According to the Intrinsic Significance of Song of Songs. I feel this book, the Song of Songs, is a wonderful picture of what does it mean to love the Lord. If you want to see, you read this book, the Song of Songs. So the subject of the Song of Songs, this is in Roman numeral 1, is that it's a poem. It's the history of love in an excellent marriage, revealing the progressive experience of an individual believer's loving fellowship with Christ for the preparation of his bride in 6 major stages. In this book, for those of you who haven't read it, there are 2 main characters. There's a lover and there's a beloved. But actually, this is a picture of an individual believer who is typified by this lover and Christ, who is typified by the beloved. And I found this subject, which I just read, this subject is amazing. In this subject, you will really understand this book of the Song of Songs. And some of these phrases I was so touched by. One, a history of love. Saints, do you have a history of love with the Lord? Our love with the Lord should have a history. From when we first heard the name Jesus Christ up till this very day, I just feel, Lord, I want more history with you. I want a history of love with the Lord. A history of love results in an excellent marriage. Second of all, we need to have a progressive experience. Saints, our love with the Lord, it should not be the same as when we first believed into the Lord until this very day. Our love for the Lord shouldn't be the same as last year. Our love with the Lord needs to advance. And that's why in this book, there's 6 progressive stages. Our love with the Lord needs to go on day by day, month by month, year by year. We need to advance. And this phrase, loving fellowship. Oh, what does love look like? Love should be a loving fellowship. And this word fellowship is so precious. Fellowship means joint participation, mutual enjoyment. This means that we enjoy the Lord and the Lord enjoys us. We speak to the Lord and the Lord speaks to us. We talk a lot about how much we need to enjoy the Lord. But you know, the Lord wants to enjoy us. The Lord wants to speak to us. This is the kind of loving fellowship that the Lord desires. And finally, this phrase, all these things, a history of love, a progressive experience, and a loving fellowship, this is for the preparation of His bride. It's kind of amazing that just by being in this loving fellowship, you become a different person. You don't even need to try to become a different person, but just by loving the Lord, you become a beautiful bride. And then the Lord can come back and end this age. So now I just like to show you in a little way this progressive experience and this loving fellowship in the book of Song of Songs in these 6 major stages. So this is in point A in your outline, but in the first stage of Song of Songs, the lover of Christ is drawn to pursue Him for satisfaction. The Lord wants His seeker to have a personal, affectionate, private, and spiritual relationship with Him. And if you can look on with me, I'm going to read to you Song of Songs 1, 2 to 4. And these verses are wonderful. It says, "Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils have a pleasant fragrance. Your name is like ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. Draw me, we will run after you. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you." Saints, these 3 verses, this is what loving the Lord looks like. And I felt I was a little convicted in reading this that I feel my time and my relationship with the Lord is short because this is what the Lord is after. He wants us to tell Him, "Lord, I want to let you kiss me." I feel every morning time we have with the Lord, we should ask the Lord, "Kiss us. Kiss us this morning with the kisses of your mouth. Even Lord, cause me to smell you. I want to smell your pleasant fragrance. I want to touch your name that is like ointment poured forth. Lord, today draw me. Draw me so I won't run after the other things. Now we'll run after you." Saints, we need this kind of prayer and loving fellowship with the Lord. I also love in these verses, wow, you see the cause and effect. He kisses us, and then we say, "Lord, your love is better than everything else." Oh, we smell His anointing oils. We enjoy His ointment-like name, and therefore we're the virgins that just can't help ourselves but love Him. He draws us, so we run after Him. And we don't run after the things in the world because He's drawn us with cords of a man and with bands of love. And you know what? He brings us into His chambers. He brings us into our spirit. And therefore, we are glad and we rejoice in Him. I think I realize from this, saints, even we can't love the Lord by our own strength. Our love is a because of love. We love because He first loved us. So if you want to love the Lord more, we should pray, "Lord, draw me more, kiss me more, attract me more, capture me with your beauty more, constrain me with your love more," right? the love of Christ constrains us, that we would no longer live to ourselves, but we would live to him. We don't even have a way to love the Lord by our own strength, but by his drawing, by his attracting, and by his kissing, we will run after him. We'll forget all the other things. We'll say, your love is much better, better than everything else. Draw us more, Lord Jesus. In the second stage of Song of Songs, the lover of Christ is called to be delivered from the self through her oneness with the cross of Christ. Song of Songs 2:8 says, the voice of my beloved, now he comes, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. You know, the Lord, he is calling us because he doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants us to become a bride. He wants to get married. So he's calling us. And as those, we need to be those who hear the voice of our beloved. Saints, the Lord might be calling you this weekend. He's calling us. We need to be those who hear the voice of our beloved. And not only do we need to hear his voice, we actually need to hear who is the one calling us. Actually, the one calling us, he's the mountain-leaping, hill-skipping Christ. The one calling us, he's leaping on the mountains because he's the resurrected Christ. He's the one who has been raised from the dead. And nothing is too great, nothing is too high to stop the resurrected Christ. I was just so encouraged. We need to hear his call and hear who is the one calling us. But oftentimes we can be stuck. We can be stuck in our introspection, in our thoughts, in our feelings. And I know this happens to me a lot where I just can't get out of my thinking, my feeling. And I, in a sense, this separates me from the Lord. But thank the Lord that even when we reject his calling, he keeps calling us. In Song of Songs 2:10, he says, rise up, my love, my beauty, and come away. Oh, the Lord is so persistent. He really wants to reach us, and he'll keep calling us. I just was touched, Lord. I don't want to miss your call. I want to hear your call. Rise up. Saints, rise up, my love, my beauty, and come away. He wants us not to look at ourselves, but look at the one who's leaping on the mountains, who's skipping on the hills. I also really appreciated Song of Songs 2:14. He says, my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the covert of the precipice, let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your countenance is lovely. The clefts of the rock and the covert of the precipice, these are not pleasant places. Actually, this is a picture of our staying in oneness with the Lord's cross. When we're in tough situations, I know for me, my first reaction is often to escape, to try to get out of it. But actually, what the Lord desires is he wants us to stay by the power of his resurrection. And not only does he want us to stay, but he wants us to speak to him. Here he's telling us, let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice. I was touched that, you know, even in all these difficult situations, the Lord, he wants to hear us. He wants to see us. And you know, when we talk to the Lord in these difficult times, our countenance to him is lovely. Our voice to him is sweet. Not only are we able to bear these situations by the power of his resurrection, but actually in this loving fellowship with him, we become delivered from ourselves. We become delivered from our thoughts and our feelings. We become a different person. This is actually loving the Lord. When we're one with the Lord in his cross and we're opening to him, showing our countenance to him and letting him hear our voice. In the third stage of the Song of Songs, the lover of Christ is called. We continue to be called to live in ascension as the new creation in resurrection. Song of Songs 4:8 reads, come with me, come with me from Lebanon, my bride. With me from Lebanon come. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Senir and Hermon, from the lion's den, from the leopard's mountains. Again, saints, in our day-to-day, we need to hear the Lord's call. The Lord is calling to us, come with me, come with me. And where is the Lord? He's in Lebanon. He's in ascension. He's the ascended Christ, and he's calling us to come with him in ascension. And not only does he want us to come be with him, he wants us to look with him. the earthly vantage point is not the same as the ascended Christ vantage point. And he's looking from the top of a manna, from truth and reality. He's looking from the top of Senir and Hermon, which signifies his victory. I just appreciate the Lord. He is calling us to live in ascension. And what this practically means is he's calling us to continually live in our spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And the Lord, he's the ascended Christ in the heavens. So when we're in our spirit, we are joined to the ascended Christ in the heavens. Saints, this is a divine fact. We can be on the earth and be in the heavens at the same time, because in our spirit, we are joined to the ascended Christ. But practically, what this means is this means we need to be in our spirit. We need to live continually in our spirit. And this makes sense because a couple needs to be together. So if the Lord is in ascension, we should live in ascension. So I pray the Lord would keep calling us. We wouldn't, I was speaking to myself, I don't want to live such an earthly life. Even at work or at home, oh Lord, I want to hear your call. Come with me. Oh, look with me. Be in ascension with me. In the fourth stage of Song of Songs, the lover of Christ is called more strongly to live within the veil through the cross after resurrection. So again, you hear there's another call, right? And we're called again to live more strongly within the veil. And actually, I appreciated this. The spiritual principles are actually the same across all these stages. But in each stage, the Lord is calling us to go deeper and to have a stronger experience. This includes our experience of the cross, of his resurrection and ascension. And when we experience all these things, actually, we become a different person. There is a change. And in this stage, in Song of Songs 6:10, this reads, who is this woman who looks forth like the dawn, as beautiful as the moon, as clear as the sun, as terrible as an army with banners? There is a result to our loving fellowship with the Lord. And this result is that we become prepared to become a beautiful bride for our dear Lord. You know, in the first stage, the lover was called a mare, a horse, among Pharaoh's chariots. This was all of us. We're so natural. We're living in the world, the satanic chaos, and we're enslaved by Satan for his worldly purpose. But after being in this loving fellowship with the Lord, oh, we become a different person. We become a woman who looks forth like the dawn. Do you want to be someone who looks forth like the dawn? As beautiful as the moon and as clear as the sun. You go from a wild horse to a heavenly body. And we eventually, this woman is called the Shulamite, which is the feminine form of Solomon. This means that we can become just like our dear Lord Jesus in life, in nature, in expression, and in function. I was enjoying, you know, we don't need to worry so much about trying to become a better person. Actually, just by giving ourselves to love the Lord Jesus, just by giving ourselves to be in this loving fellowship, you will become more and more beautiful to him. You will become more and more radiant and shining to him. Oh, we just need to give ourselves to love the Lord. In the fifth stage, the lover of Christ shares in the work of the Lord. And for time's sake, I won't say too much here except to say that as we love the Lord and we're in this loving fellowship with him, we can't help but to love what the Lord loves. And what does the Lord love? The Lord loves the church. The Lord gave himself up for her. So when we love the Lord, we can't help but want to love the church and can't help but want to love the saints. And I felt this stage is so awesome because in this stage, it's the lover of Christ who is calling for the beloved to come and check on the vineyard. So we should call, Lord, come with me. Come with me to go visit the saints. Come with me to go care for the church. And you know, in our care for the church, we can give our love to the Lord. Oh, may the Lord cause us not only to love him more, but to love the church more, to love his vineyards more, to love the saints more. And finally, I just want to come to this sixth stage. The lover of Christ is hoping to be raptured. She is coming up from the wilderness, the earthly realm, by leaning on her beloved. You know, like I mentioned earlier, Paul mentioned that this reward is for all those who love the Lord's appearing. And I feel in this sixth stage, what do you see? You see someone who loves the Lord's appearing, someone who is ready for the Lord's return, who is ready to be raptured. And I was thinking to myself, you know, what does it mean? Or what does a person who loves the Lord's appearing, what does that person look like? Well, you should look at this woman in this sixth stage in the Song of Songs. So Song of Songs 8:5, who is this who comes up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? The result of our loving fellowship with the Lord and a person who loves the Lord's appearing is a person like this, a person who cannot take a step without leaning on her beloved. This person has been touched by the Lord. This person realizes, I can't do anything. I can't even take a step without leaning on my dear Lord. You know, we talk a lot about running this race and finishing our course. This course can only be completed by leaning on our beloved. Oh, Lord, I pray we would all come to this point to realize, I just need you. Every day, I need you. Every moment. I can't make it without you, Lord. Make me someone that would lean on you every step of the way. Song of Songs 8:13, and I was so touched by this. Oh, you who dwell in the gardens, my companions, listen for your voice. Let me hear it. The characteristic of someone who loves the Lord's appearing is that they listen for his voice. Oh, I'm so happy I'm with so many companions tonight, listening for his voice. Every meeting we're in, we want to listen for his voice. Actually, if I don't hear the Lord's voice, in a sense, this meeting was a waste to me. I want to hear your voice in every meeting that I sit in. Lord, I'm here to listen for your voice. Every time I open the Bible, I don't want to just check off a box that I read one chapter. I want to listen for your voice. Lord, what do you have to say to me? Even in my day-to-day living, Lord, I don't want to miss your voice. I want to listen for your voice. I like this fact because it's something very active on our part. We need to listen. So often, I'm on autopilot. I just live the way I want to live, do what I want to do. When someone says something to me, I just respond. But Lord, make me someone like this who would listen for your voice. Because I don't know how to go on. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Unless, Lord, you speak to me. Unless, Lord, you tell me what I should do. Make me someone who would listen for your voice. In every aspect of my life, I would listen for your voice. And then the last verse in this book, let me just read it for you. Make haste, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. Oh, this person would just be someone, we just want the Lord to make haste and come back. Oh, make haste, my beloved, to come. I just, in conclusion, I would say that if we want to be someone who loves the Lord's appearing, we should endeavor to build up our history of love with him. We should aspire to have a progressive experience with our Lord and to work on this loving fellowship with him. We need to give ourselves to love the Lord. But loving the Lord is not something light. It actually involves our deeper and stronger experiences of his cross, of his resurrection and ascension. And it involves us becoming more heavenly, more divine, and more a new creation. But even lastly, I'll just say, even our loving the Lord, it doesn't depend on our own strength, our own ability. We're not good at loving the Lord. Actually, he set each of us as a seal on his heart and a seal on his arm. And saints, his love is as strong as death. And there's nothing stronger than death. That's how strong his love is. And his jealousy is as cruel as Sheol. We love because he first loved us. So I was just touched. We need to give ourselves to say, Lord, kiss me more. We need to let him kiss us more. We need to say, Lord, draw me more. Attract me more. Even, Lord, call me more to come with you, to rise up, to be in ascension with you. Make us those who would listen for your voice, who would hasten your return. In doing this, Lord, prepare your bride so that you could get married soon. Make us those who would love your appearing. Come back, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'll end here.
Amen. Come back, Lord Jesus. Amen. Isn't your heart warmed up? I just love how the Lord has led us on this progression. We've come now to the matter of loving the Lord. Loving the Lord in such a way, it hastens His return. This loving of the Lord, we'll see in message 5, which we're coming to now, has an effect. Our loving the Lord will cause something eternal to take place in our being. A reward that is not there if we are not loving the Lord and loving the Lord's appearing specifically. So let's come to message 5. In this message, we have the title, Receiving the Kingdom Reward of Christ as the Crown of Righteousness. There's a few key words in the title. Apart from Christ, we have the word righteousness, crown, kingdom, and reward. And in this message, we see something that is often neglected in the Bible. The Bible has a complete revelation, and we have to be those faithful to receive the entire thing. We can't only receive one aspect, maybe an aspect that suits our disposition or even our need. We see here that there is a matter of reward and punishment in the Word. This matter is so weighty. My burden would be that we would see how the Lord views this matter and why throughout the Scriptures there are all the things that we need to see it and also to meet this need. So coming to point one, it's a continuation of what we just heard, loving the Lord's appearing. In Philippians, 2 Timothy 4, 8, I love this little phrase. Paul said that there is a crown laid up for me. And on the one hand, I say, praise the Lord, Paul made it, you know. He has the assurance, but he says one thing beyond that. You can see us in the Word. He says, and not only me. Saints, we are those in this phrase right here, but also all those. If you ever have a feeling, I can't make it. I'm not able to be an overcomer and meet the Lord's need. Just read and pray read this verse. You'll see. You are the all those. All those who love His appearing. So this matter of loving the Lord is a tremendous inflection point in our Christian life. We may have enjoyed the Lord at our initial salvation. We call on the Lord. He becomes one spirit with our spirit. That is marvelous. That is an eternal event that took place. We will never lose our salvation eternally. So we're not worried about eternity. But we need to see this matter of whether or not we receive this reward is dependent upon whether or not we are loving the Lord's appearing. And to love the Lord is not separate from loving the Lord's appearing. Because what we need to see is that His appearing is His present manifestation to us right now. So even inwardly, check with the Lord. Lord, are you being manifested to me right now? Do I have your presence with me right now? I just so appreciate the practicality of this is in all of our circumstances, we can check, Lord, are you being manifested in me right now? Or have I done something to grieve the Spirit? Now I feel lost. I feel like, where's the Lord? I'm not sure. I need to repent and turn back. This desire within us to never lose the Lord's presence is my burden for this section. That we would have the heart to do whatever it takes. We would apologize as many times as we need to regain the Lord's current speaking within us, because we don't want to lose His appearing to us. We need to love His appearing. Now, of course, this also has the aspect of His eventual return. We shouldn't be those loving this age and being so stuck in the things that we inwardly, if we're honest, we may check with the Lord. We may feel, I'm not sure I'm ready for the Lord to return. We need to go to the Lord with this and consider, how do I feel about the Lord's return? If he, as I walk out the door, if he were to appear right now, how would I feel? We need to love the Lord's appearing. Now, I want to come to point E on the outline. E1. This prize, which is this crown, is neither of grace nor by faith, as salvation is, but of righteousness through works. This may be somewhat foreign to our ears. There is something of righteousness through works done in our body. I like to read a couple of verses. First one is Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man is to come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then he will repay each man according to his doings. So on the one hand, salvation eternally is a free gift. This is not something that we minimize. We treasure this salvation. Through his grace, he gives us the gift of eternal salvation by putting his life into our spirit. Praise the Lord for that. Secondly, as we are cleansed outwardly, made righteous before God. So we have such a standing now to come and contact God anytime we want. And that is something not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is, how do we live our lives now? We have to consider soberly before the Lord. Our life is going to be judged by a righteous judge. This is not to judge whether or not we will be saved eternally. This is those who are believers being judged according to what we've done in our body. Another verse in Revelation 22:12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to render to each one as his work is. The Lord is coming. He would like to render something to you according to our work. Another verse, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we all must be manifested before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done through the body according to what he has practiced, whether good or bad. So when Paul mentioned the Lord's return and that there was a crown, it's a righteous judge. A judge cannot break the law. They can't give you a crown if you didn't fulfill the requirement. So this righteous judge was going to recompense Paul something. And recompense is essentially, if you have a job and you do the work, then you get paid. That's your recompense. So it's fully righteous. So Paul had the absolute assurance that when the Lord returned, he would be recompensed such a crown. That is so marvelous. I hope that all of us would have an aspiration toward this. This is something in me that I feel, Lord, you need to go further in me. I need to have the same aspiration. Paul was relentless in his pursuit, and he took him till the end of his life, and he then could declare that the Lord would recompense him. Marvelous. Okay, point two, just to clarify this. The crown of righteousness will be awarded not according to the grace of the Lord, but according to his righteousness. And the one who awards it will be the Lord as the righteous judge. So this is quite sobering and is very much connected to our loving the Lord and loving the Lord's appearing. Isn't it marvelous that the sobering fact that we will have a judgment seat is connected with whether or not we spend our days loving the Lord and loving the Lord's appearing? I just think that what a wonderful God we have. Now, to see an example of this, we go on. Firstly, we want to see this righteousness that we're talking about, that's in the title, a crown of righteousness. Is that merely the objective righteousness? We want to see there's another aspect. The objective righteousness we receive at salvation. When we receive the Lord's eternal salvation outwardly, we are righteous once and for all. But if we're honest, we realize our inner being doesn't match God's righteousness. We have a lot of problems within ourselves. These things are, praise the Lord, he doesn't leave us in that condition. He is looking to save us to the uttermost, meaning our outer righteousness, eventually, if we stay on this path, will be the same as our inner being. Isn't that wonderful? I think many of us have the faith built up in us to, when we have a failure, we just turn away from that, receive the cleansing blood, and come back to the Lord. We have the faith to stand on the fact and the word. Well, we also need to have the faith built up that our inner being is being sanctified and will be as righteous as that blood of Jesus that cleanses us. So to see this, we have the objective righteousness, the subjective righteousness. This is also corresponding to the fact that when we are saved, our position before God, we are brought to a place where we can be before him. This is like in Luke, where the prodigal son had a robe put on him, and he was able to come into the Father's presence now. But he needed something else. He needed to feast on the fatted calf. This would fill his inner being with Christ as the calf, the fatted calf which was slain for us. And he would inwardly become just as righteous as that outer robe now covering him. We see this as an example in Psalm 45. Here we have these two garments. We'll spend a little time on the two garments. So in Psalm 45, we have verses 13 and 14. The king's daughter is all glorious within the royal abode. Her garment is a woven work in wrought with gold. So here we see the first garment. This is the objective righteousness received by us at salvation. This is eternal. We will never lose that. It is a free gift given to us through faith. Then we have verse 14. She will be led to the king in embroidered clothing. We want to see this embroidered work. This embroidered clothing is the second garment. This embroidery, if you've ever seen embroidery take place, it's very slow. You have to get a kind of wooden circle. You have to stretch the fabric, have a pattern drawn on that, and then stitch by stitch, very slowly, very meticulously, very precisely, you fulfill that pattern. This is the kind of work that is taking place in our inner being. The Lord, the Spirit, is stitching our inner being with this Christ. This is how he becomes our subjective righteousness. So inwardly, this garment, as we cooperate with the Lord, as we take care of all the things we heard in the preceding four messages, this process is stitching another garment in our being. I just think, if you need meaning in your life, here's meaning in your life. Even for Christians who may have never heard this, what a wonderful life to spend our time, our whole life, allowing the Spirit to put Christ as righteousness into us. Okay. I think that's good there. So to go on, this garment, the second garment. So the first garment, again, is for our objective righteousness. The second garment, there's a phrase here. The second garment is actually for our victory. She will be led to the king in embroidered clothing. What a victory this is. So each of us has the opportunity to gain this victory by allowing the Spirit day by day to stitch more Christ into us. This also becomes a wedding garment. In Revelation 19:8, we see, and it was given to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteousnesses of the saints. So here we see a picture of something quite marvelous. Each of us individually living our lives, turning to the Lord day by day, allowing the Spirit to touch our inner being. And each time, another stitch is placed. And as this takes place, then there is righteousness being lived out of us. So on the one hand, we have received the life of God freely. On the other hand, now that life needs to live out of us. So it's almost as if it's an echo or a response to the divine life in us. So in this verse, the righteousnesses of the saints is not just them, you know, behaving properly, doing things according to what, you know, we think God should have us do. This is actually the living out of the divine life that we received at salvation. So what happens then eventually is that this becomes a wedding garment for the bride. Now, each of us in our daily lives having these righteousnesses, which is Christ as righteousness lived out of us, this corporately becomes a covering of the church. I just feel so happy that I could be a part of that covering, that our, each of our lives matters to the point where this is how the bride is clothed for her wedding. It's just amazing. One point is that these stitches, this embroidery work, is through suffering. So, you know, here we're not seeing the matter of a life of joy and so forth. Here we see Paul bringing in the matter of suffering. Through our sufferings, as we allow the Lord's life to operate in us, the sufferings produce the embroidered clothing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, the last item is that this brings us, this gives us the, this becomes the kingdom reward to us. This garment, this garment becomes the righteousness that is the kingdom reward seen in the title. Receiving the kingdom reward, and then it adds this phrase, of Christ. I just appreciate the tying together. Oftentimes I had thought to receive the kingdom reward, to enter into the kingdom, I need to just behave really well. Here what we see is it's actually Christ as a reward to the overcoming believer. In Matthew 7:21, we see something quite amazing. We love to call on the Lord, and calling on the Lord is our daily practice. In Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens." So not only do we need to be those calling on the Lord, but we also need to be those who do the will of our Father. Amen. To receive the kingdom reward of Christ, we must be those doing the will of the Father. Amen. So I want to leave with just this primary burden I have that I picked up from our brother in the speaking, that we have to have such a heart. Amen. I think these things aren't very complicated to understand, but this aspiration should be within each of us. Yes. Lord, I want the second garment. Yes. Lord, I want your righteousness to live out of me. Yes. I don't want to remain righteous outwardly and unrighteous inwardly. And finally, there are some points that really help to illustrate the two different things. The two aspects of this garment. On the one side is the objective. On the other side is the subjective. So our brother gave us 12 points. Objectively, it's grace through faith. Subjectively, it's righteousness through works. On this side, it's satisfying the requirement of the righteous God. On this side, it's satisfying the requirement of the victorious Christ. On this side, it's sinners justified before God. On this side, it's saints approved before Christ. On this side, it's sinners will be saved. This side, it's believers to overcome. On this side, it's through believing into Christ. On this side, it's magnifying Christ. Amen. On this side, it's Christ living in us. This side, it's we living and abiding in Christ. Amen. This side, we become children of God's house. And this side, we become the bride of the Lamb. This side, we being called to the Father's feast. This side, we being the chosen to participate in the Lord's marriage feast. Amen. Hallelujah. We're called, and then we're chosen.
Amen.
Amen. This side, the righteousness received by faith. This side, the righteousness we live out by our love.
Amen.
This side is for our justification. This side for our entire being to be made righteous. This side is us receiving eternal life. And this side is we receiving the kingdom reward. So may the Lord rise up in each one of us. Saints, we are the all those. Never think you can't make it. Oh, we're here to meet the Lord's need in this age.
Amen.